So, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and we're going to talk about spoilers for Rise of the Skywalker. We had a lot of different opinions about what this movie was and what this movie could have been. A lot of it centers around J.J. Abrams. So, getting into some of the core things, a lot of the movie is this, we need to find Exegol, need to find the Wayfinder, Waypoint, whatever it's called. Ultimately, it doesn't mean anything. How do you guys feel about that?
How do I feel about it? The big MacGuffin. Either way, the whole thing was contrived. It was completely stupid. It treats the audience as complete idiots. We already know Star Wars is about space magic. It is not the show that is grounded in some form of reality. Star Trek is grounded in some reality. But Star Wars, you're able to make a lot of leaps there. But it's still, the technology is so believable. Everyone knows space is huge. The idea that every bit of space, every bit of the galaxy is mapped in that time period is ridiculous. All Abrams had to do was say that the place was undiscovered. Unknown region of space, period. The end. Mass Effect 2 is a good example. Mysterious base being in a region of space that was literally uncharted. And no one ever wanted to go there because you just die and blow up. He was treating the audience like idiots. That in order for them to find this thing, they needed this ancient device that hooks into modern computers and allows them to find it. It's utterly stupid.
Isn't that the whole movie? Y'all are dumb. Take this nostalgia and just deal with it and love it.
Middle of the movie is that chase scene. And then eventually is that one of those chase scenes involves Kylo Ren and the scene you might see in the trailer where Rey has a proud face on and she's in the middle of the desert and then she does a backflip and then passive aggressive Kylo Ren and her have this force battle. How'd you guys feel about that?
I don't even know what they were trying to prove with that. So, let me backtrack. Pushing her to use that force lightning. Abrams hinted at in his ridiculous, stupid script that only Palpatines had that ability to use force lightning. Once again, reiterates that Abrams doesn't give a shit about the lore, doesn't care.
Well, let me ask you this. Did Dooku use that in
yes,
the second
movie?
Yes, he
used force lightning. Yeah. Yes, he did.
Okay. So is he a Palpatine?
Force lightning is a dark side power. A lot of different writers say you achieve it a certain kind of way, but in the end, it's a Sith ability that you basically channel all your hate and anger. And instead of a push or a shove or any kind of reach of telekinesis, you're directing pure energy at someone with the intent of hurting them. It doesn't outright blow stuff up. Takes a while, but it basically causes pain in physical objects and just in general is not the most efficient way of killing somebody or destroying anything. You know, for that, you use a lightsaber, you just crush it. And Return of the Jedi, he was unloading on Luke Skywalker for like 5 minutes in order to get anywhere with him. Going to the dark side is a conscious choice. At some point, you choose to go that route. So her getting pissed off and just trying to stop him from taking it is counterintuitive to her just saying, I'm so angry, I'm going to blow it up. And then lightning shoots out of her hands.
Just so you can have this fake scene of Chewbacca possibly dying. That's really what it was.
To try to foreshadow to us that she's a Palpatine, I guess.
Exactly. It's a foreshadow that we've only seen Palpatine use it in movies. That means only Palpatine is the one who can do that. So for whatever reason, and the whole thing that because she's descended from Palpatine, she's dark side, she's bad, which is a ridiculous little subplot. I mean, that didn't even come up with Luke Skywalker. Father was Darth Vader. It didn't even pop in there that I could be evil too. No, it was, oh, well, you know, I got to save him. I got to keep him, get him out of that whole mess. Get him out of that nasty breather. Hook him up with some new lungs. Get him set up. I got to go help him. Instead, the flip side of that is I could be evil. And if I'm evil, I have to destroy the evil within me and everyone else is evil.
Another Kylo and Rey interaction where I almost took it as they were trying to say she's as powerful as him sort of thing. Which, again, goes back to that doesn't make sense because again, who the hell trained her? I mean, Leia apparently trained her now. We know that. But before that, it's like, who the hell are you? Like, for real.
Well, even in the last movie, she was lifting up whole mountains, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody has shown that power, that level of power. Nor was she trained at the point. I can understand that.
Like, Anakin was the chosen one, and we didn't see him do none of that stuff.
I mean, Yoda picked up a whole starship. Yeah,
but that's Yoda.
Again, you're true. And that is Yoda. And
800 years. Like, this dude is well trained. It makes sense that he could do that.
It goes to show that for whatever reason, I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, they'd already established that being the new chosen one, all right, But even when they had Anakin Skywalker in the prequels, and I go back to George Lucas, what he was doing. Even in the prequels, they showed Anakin Skywalker as being bad. In the second movie, first movie, he was a little kid, you know, flying or whatever. He was just going running on instinct, and it was working. He had no control over it. Second one, he was cocky with it, and he got his damn arm cut off for it, from being cocky. The third movie, he was in full command. Cockiness was gone. He was just being a badass. You knew for a fact that Mace Windu knew who he was. Samuel Jackson would probably carve him up. Clearly, he doesn't know what the difference between low ground and high ground is, how that shit can fuck him up. But, you know, he still died. It was still a sense of, despite the fact that he was supposed to be as epic as he was with all of his potential, it was just that. It was all potential. And with Abrams, he does not have the skill set to write someone being a badass with potential. Or potential to be that epic without him just going overboard with it. I mean, he just went overboard with it with her.
Moving on with some of that was something about 3PO losing his memory.
Oh, God.
And that he had his memory wiped by the final order, whatever they're called. They have to go retrieve his memory. So another MacGuffin type of thing. It's just another plot in the movie because they have to do something. They have to fill out this 2 hours and 20 minutes, 2 hours, 15 minutes of something.
They tried to force emotion with that mass puppet thing. What was his name? Frito Grove or something like that?
It looked like something from Men in Black.
He was kind of funny, but now I just fucking forget what he said now. I got a chuckle out of him. Here's the thing that really kind of irked me a little bit was like, that dude ain't get no kind of respect. I mean, like, he's been around with all his memories intact since the original movie.
They've alluded to wiping his memory. Thinking the prequels?
Yeah, the prequels, they wiped their memories. They wiped both C-3PO and R2's memories.
Yeah.
He's been fully cognizant since episode 4. So all that collected knowledge and stuff, they're kind of like that attitude they had with him from the first movie. You replicate that same Han Solo disdain for droids. Again, it was an attempt to force some kind of emotion. You back up a computer hardware. His memories are backed up some kind of way. They even threw it out there. Don't you have R2 back up your memories? Like,
same thing. It's just another emotional grab. The whole point of that whole sequence was just for him to get to the line of, I'm taking one last look at my friends. For people to be like, oh, that's it. Like,
oh, and I had some people in the theater go, oh, no.
I'm sure.
And I just looked over, I mean, y'all know, shut the fuck up.
Nobody's ever really did. But
this is dumb.
That was the entire point of that whole thing. Pull at everybody's heartstrings one time.
The movie was disrespectful. Slap in the face and just disrespectful.
All right. So the next thing is that the later third of the movie winds up to be. So again, with the Wayfinder or Waypoint, like whatever the thing's called, they go to what apparently is a second Death Star.
So is a second Death Star from the Battle of Endor.
Rey and Kylo Ren have their true battle. So before it was just force powers, and this time Rey gets the best of him. Kylo Ren blanks out for a second. Leia, so she's dying. And then through the Force, Kylo Ren senses that she's died. And then freezes up for a second. Rey impales him.
The fact that Han Solo shows up. Not even like Force Ghost. He literally shows up like he's alive. Like rolls up on Kylo like, hey, what's going on, son?
It's his memory. Those are his memories. That's Kylo's memory of his father. Not a ghost. It's his memory of his dad. And in his memory, he and his dad are talking, and they're reenacting the time when he gutted his dad. So he does what he should have done back then, and throw the lightsaber away. That's what he should have done.
Okay.
And that's why he said the same line.
Yeah.
That's why he said the same line. Okay.
Abrams had a brain cell.
He wouldn't have killed.
That's what he would have done in the first movie.
Yeah.
And that would have been a total twist.
Kylo Ren could have helped train.
Exactly. Exactly. It would have solved everything. Then they're out to find the master. It's a race against time to find Luke Skywalker because Luke Skywalker's got some hint thing. They could even wrap the whole Emperor Exegol. Where is that place called?
Exegol.
Okay. Happy Land. So many ways it could have gone. The reason we can think of it is because we in the Beast Gang are actually not celebrated and not published storytellers. But I'm pretty sure we've told a damn story with some cohesion at one point in our lives, and we know how the story should flow. Abrams don't. So
basically, I think that was all in his head.
Harrison Ford looked good, and for a guy who's playing a dead man, I mean, he seemed really happy to play a dead Han Solo.
Yeah,
I don't know why he hates his character so much, man, but
He hates all of his characters. Dead. She impales him. I think she also revives him at the same time. Is that?
She heals him right afterwards. So that whole thing in Endor and the second Death Star, that was gorgeous. That looked amazing. All right. Very cleverly done. Very nice looking. Her skipping across the waves and everything to get to the Wayfinder, and so she can get there and stop Palpatine to find out what's happened going on with her past and to find out what happened with her family, whatever. I can understand the urgency with that. It looked very, very good. I was impressed with that. And the problem was, is that it started when, what is Lupita's character's name?
Maz Kanata.
Yeah, Maz Kanata.
Maz Kanata.
Okay, so...
Did she only have like three lines in this movie?
Yeah, no, I mean...
One of those lines
It was just the fact that she was in that first movie and she really served no purpose. Because again, it's another... Yeah. I guess she has Luke's lightsaber in that one, right? Is that right?
Somehow she got her hands on Luke's lightsaber that was lost, along with his hand. Yeah, that was never explained. Along with his hand, by the way, because his hand was clutching the lightsaber, so I'm wondering if his hand's somewhere. But anyway, they find his original lightsaber, which is Anakin's lightsaber. At this point, Carrie Fisher has passed away, so it's a stand-in and some CG mapping on the face.
Yeah, so everything shot for her is either shot from the side, reverse shot of her shoulder or something.
They show her struggling, but basically she goes to lay down so she can commune with her son one last time to try to bring him back to the light. And that's when Maz gives the only reason why she's in the movie, delivers a line of, she realizes this, but she must use the last of her strength to save her son.
Real quick, because when did she start dying in the movie?
That's a good question, Mike. She started dying in this movie the minute they hired J.J. Abrams. That's when she died. She started dying in slow little deaths the minute they hired that clown. As they wrote him in and he yelled action, she died little deaths. They didn't even allude to that she was sick. They just mentioned that she was tired. Only one of two things they took from The Last Jedi was that Luke's death by extending himself too much through the Force apparently kills you. I've never heard of that.
Force dating. I mean, shouldn't they be dying at that point?
Oh,
God. I mean, extending stuff through the Force. FedExing stuff to people through the Force.
Right.
I mean, shouldn't that be killing
we'll
them?
That.
Shouldn't we be like we'll destroying their life force?
Then. Back to your original point. My feelings on that was that it was contrived and stupid. That whole point with her connecting to them, to her son, and trying to bring him back, that was just to exit Leia, Carrie Fisher's character, out of it because she's passed away. Her whipping around, stabbing him in the gut to show that she can then heal anything, because she'd already showcased her healing abilities.
Right, she did with the thing in the cave when they went to the thing. Yeah.
He does it again to heal him. Really didn't serve a purpose because they'd already established. They should have just had the fight. There were a number of ways they could have gone with that. Having her his mother reach out to him with the Force across the stars and try to bring him back to the light, it was unbelievable because in The Last Jedi, when the man blows up the bridge that his mom's on and he sees her floating through space, he's done at that point. I'm pretty sure his way to the light through his mother's call is done. To continue on that path, turn back to the light side was utterly ridiculous. It felt out of step with the character itself.
Like he said, she had already healed the snake, and then she turns around and heals Kylo, which, I mean, I guess is supposed to be just furthering their connection. And at that point, who didn't know that he was going to go back to the good side? Like, I already knew it was coming,
Skywalker.
But...
And the fight wasn't even that good.
A lot of the lightsaber battles were not shot very well. They were shot in a way where it was a lot of cuts, and then you might see them do some type of sweeping motion, but he's stepping out of the way. And then more cut, sweeping motion, and then somebody talking, more cuts. Moving on from that, the thing is, once she revives Kylo Ren, she feels that her life is now changing, runs away to the planet that Luke was on in the second movie.
Last Jedi?
Yeah, so she is basically about to do what Luke did, which is like discard the lightsaber. He shows up as a Force ghost. And then
catches the lightsaber.
Gives her the pep talk of a lifetime that, hey, you need to face Palpatine. We need to end all this. And then you also have another fan servicey thing where all of a sudden Luke's X-Wing appears.
Well, not just that. Before that, could we also talk about how they try to clean up the whole Last Jedi fiasco with him literally saying the line, "I was wrong." When she said, "I'm doing what you said we should do." And he was like, "Yeah, well, I was wrong. Supposed to fix everything."
Can I ask this one question real quick? We talked about The Last Jedi. I think most of us agreed that it was better than the first movie. Not as good a Star Wars film as we've come to hope for, but it was at least better, and they went left with it and didn't try to rehash and retell a story. But I thought Luke's change in character, like, while he grossly mismanaged using Luke Skywalker's character, that was a gross mismanagement of it. Ending kind of left it up there. Start using the Force to pick up the broom and stuff. I was down with that. I mean, I would have rather Abrams try to just roll with what was dealt with him than try to retcon that thing. I mean, did The Last Jedi need to be retconned out of it?
No. Because Disney accepted those changes. Disney wanted that. And that was also likely a J.J. Abrams idea that, wouldn't it be cool if we killed Luke Skywalker? And then when people turned against that, and also the actor turned against it, all of a sudden it's wrong. Let's blame Rian Johnson.
I see what you're saying.
Backfired on them. Somehow it's like, J.J. Abrams didn't care any longer because he thought he was out. He thought he was just going to direct the first movie and somebody else was going to direct the third movie. And when he comes back, it's like, I got to do all this stuff. Oh, man.
Another nostalgia moment. The X-Wing comes out just like the old movie. Oh, we're all heartstrings are pulled. It's so amazing.
Even had the song playing the same way and everything. It was just like, Come on, man. And it was all practical effects, too. You know, don't forget that, guys. He used practical effects for that.
They have Rey wearing Luke's helmet when she flies it. Like, come on.
Again,
she looked goofy with that thing on.
The fan servicey stuff. That's really what happens. But the whole point is for her to fly to Exegol, which is the Sith homeworld, or fight Palpatine. And then you start having the Resistance engaging the Final Order, or whatever they're called, the Final Countdown. And then all of a sudden the Knights of Ren finally show up.
Oh my god.
Duality that you have the lightsaber battles and infantry stuff. Any comments about that?
I actually thought the Knights of Ren would be like Sith Inquisitors and not just regular people with armor. It was very underwhelming.
Yeah, the Knights of Ren, like, what were their abilities?
They were just followers, nothing. They didn't have no force powers. They didn't have lightsabers. They were just dudes that followed Kylo.
It was almost like they were just kind of mentioned all of a sudden.
Well, they were just lamps to the slaughter so they could have another action scene. That's basically what it was.
Abrams said it was part of Kylo Ren's whole thing. There was a deleted scene where it showed the whole crew.
You mean like how the movie just started off on like, hey, well, here's Palpatine, everybody?
pretty much. It was like in the first film, there was the flashback to Luke Skywalker's Jedi Academy getting destroyed. It was by the Knights of Ren.
I guess this movie tries to explain the First Order, whatever they call it. It doesn't make any sense. I just see this as another retcon situation because you have to mention it because all of a sudden he has given up his Darksidership battle with Rey fighting Palpatine, Kylo Ren fighting the Knights of Ren, and then them FedExing lightsabers to each other.
Oh my god, I'm so stupid.
Through the Force. Won't have any package thieves here because you can just send it directly to the person. Just teleporting stuff directly to people. That's basically from Star Trek.
I thought that in Last Jedi that was bad when they used a hyperspace a ship into another fleet and destroyed it. And you kind of wonder why the hell they didn't just do that during when they faced the first Death Star. 10 X-Wings, load them up,
shit.
Offer them yourselves to the Force, go, we are one with the Force, and they just go hyperdrive right in
kamikaze and destroy the shit.
How was that not a option? But, I mean, I think this whole shipping method of sending shit through the Force has got to be dumber.
Shouldn't this be depleting somebody's life essence, the Force essence?
It completely breaks the whole damn thing. I mean, all of Star Wars is broken because of that. You start to wonder, like, why the hell didn't Jedi just...
It's play on what happened in the last movie when Luke Force projected himself. It's a lot more sensible...
That is possible.
...than teleporting lightsabers to each other in this battle. Got the lightsaber behind my back. All of a sudden, Kylo Ren has it. Palpatine and Rey fight. Kylo Ren shows up. Kylo Ren and Rey fight Palpatine. And then Palpatine basically smacks Ben Solo.
Palpatine goes to draw the life force out of him. And Palpatine pulls that healing spirit from them in some kind of way. I don't even know how that
force out of both of them.
Yeah, but he saw the healing from it. He was like, oh, not once in 1,000 generations someone would have that power. And then he starts taking it from him. His body only starts to become healed.
And his eyes turn yellow.
Yeah. Basically, he becomes himself and not a Cenobite from Hellraiser. But yeah.
He just wanted to keep saying that.
I look right at Keith. I said, is this from Hellraiser? I know this is from Hellraiser. I've seen Hellraiser a billion times. This is from Hellraiser. I mean, I'm quite sure he didn't get it from that, but I'm like, come on, man.
Attacks the entire fleet with his jazz hands.
With lightning.
You said the jazz hands. But yeah, like I said, he became Raiden. It was like a massive EMP on the fleet. Lose control of their ships and all this other stuff. So obviously that shit was powerful as all hell. But let's not forget that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Ray comes to and he directs his force lightning that is powerful as all shit. Blocks it with one lightsaber.
One-handed.
Let's go back to Revenge of the Sith now. All right? So when Palpatine was fighting Mace Windu. Right?
No. Unlimited power.
He hit him with the force. He hit him with the force lightning. He blocked it, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like struggling.
Oh, yeah. He was struggling with this shit.
And Mace Windu is one of the best swordsmen in the whole Star Wars universe, right?
Mace Windu was the shit. Even though he saw his boys get cut down by Palpatine, he was still the shit. He's like, what the fuck? This motherfucker. In a monologue. Motherfucker. Where did this come from?
But go ahead, James.
She did it with one hand. One lightsaber, right? Probably the force lightning is way stronger than what he had in Revenge of the Sith, right? Mm-hmm. That shouldn't even been possible for one. That should have destroyed the lightsaber.
And then she just makes an X with two lightsabers.
What's up next?
I'd be like, yeah, you can defeat Palpatine with a Wu symbol. And all of a sudden, Palpatine.
Hold on, stop. Stop, Barry. Stop.
What?
Did you just say she beat Palpatine with a Wu symbol?
That's it. She could have.
Oh, God. You know what? I would have been content with that.
Because the audience is stupid enough. They need, with two lightsabers, she now has double the power.
Unlimited power!
In this, the lightsaber means power. Lightsaber,
I mean, the lightsaber is just a tool that the Jedi uses in accordance with the Force. I mean, again, I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan, but is that true?
It is a tool. A Jedi is able to use it like a real sword because they are able to sense the extension of themselves. It's all right, basically
so
like
how does that explain?
Basically, it's like, okay, in swordsmanship, Mike could attest to this. In swordsmanship, the katana or whatever the sword is basically an extension of you, period. So it's basically an extension of your arm and all this other stuff. So that's basically what it is.
She throws up the X, and then Palpatine dies, Rey dies. And again, there's another scene of, oh my God, I've sent something, a disturbance in the Force. How do you guys feel about that?
He was hinting at it all throughout the movie. Abrams isn't subtle, so ham-fisting at that, I have something important to tell you, Rey. I just want to know. His ability to use that lightsaber the way he was against Kylo was kind of like, I guess that was his answer. I guess that was Abrams' answer.
No, it wasn't Abrams' answer to that, because what that was another fake-out scene that you thought all of a sudden the whole movie was about Finn. It was a bad half-baked idea by J.J. Abrams. This movie's a big retcon that should have been in the second movie, because this was probably a totally different direction what the third movie should have been after the second movie.
All right. Rarely use this term for American films. It's usually something you think about for like anime and stuff. This is all fan service, and it was terrible at it.
Yeah. It was like everything that shows up, the
entire movie is that.
The force projections or force spirits, the lightning and X-Wing, all that stuff is nothing but, oh, well, you guys remember this, don't you? Oh, my God. They put it in the movie.
And in the throne room. Come on, man. You're insulting my intelligence here. I mean, I understand like maybe one, two things. But like you said, this whole movie, it was nothing but let's just put this in here because this is the last one. Let's go for a nostalgia factor because we can't tell a fucking story. So let's just put it in there and people forget how bad this shit is.
And then Ben Solo, first time in his life, had somebody to kiss. Well, he does.
And he busted the hellified nut. And
what he does is
virtually for a while, so
yeah, it was blue balls. It was built up
for the second time in this movie. Somebody dies, Somebody gets resurrected. Just like it's the scene in The Matrix when Trinity died and Neo revived her. Just reminded me of that.
Good one.
Yep. That's why I kept saying The Matrix 2 and 3. Like the whole end scene of The Matrix 3 is like that big battle that really doesn't mean anything. Yeah. So again, this power that all of a sudden should never even be possible. It's possible twice in this movie. So Ben Solo, The Rise of the Skywalker, the last of his line.
Oh, yeah. He was the last one.
Yeah, he was.
He gives up his life force to bring Rey back to life because he is so sad. Forced Tinder dates that she kept swiping the other way. And now she, like, in order to force her to swipe the other way, brings it back to life.
He wanted that kiss.
And then all of a sudden, it's just like this awkward kiss.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking awkward. There was no passion in it at all.
Yeah, it was just like, Resistance wins. Start doing all these casual, hey, we're bringing out all the characters you'd like to see and stuff like that. So the very, very end of the movie, which is going to get into Mike's point from the last podcast, which is Rey goes to Tatooine, where Luke grew up. She goes to the Skywalker farm, and a woman just casually shows up. It's like, oh, no one's been here for a long time. Oh, who are you?
Why got you the voice, though? Why got you the voice like that? But go ahead, Barry. Jesus, man.
And then, off in the distance, Rey sees Luke and Leia. And that scene was, like, really awkwardly long, because she's just sitting there looking, and if I was a person talking to somebody...
For a minute. Like, she was thinking about, should I say the name or not?
And she was like, Rey Skywalker. Oh, yes. But then she also, like, buries the lightsabers and stuff.
Well, buries the lightsabers, but then magically has one of her own now.
Yeah.
It just pops up out of her ass.
Yeah. So what happens?
She knows how to create lightsabers.
Mike asked a question about why wouldn't Anakin Skywalker show up? The reason why is because they kept using Darth Vader's helmet throughout this whole entire movie. And if Darth Vader had the ability to talk to Kylo Ren, tell Kylo Ren to become Ben Solo, this whole movie would have been over in the first movie. So that's why that didn't happen. Mike, does that answer your question?
It does, but it ain't a good enough answer for me. even still, I don't see how you have Luke and Leia standing, but you literally don't have Anakin.
It doesn't matter, because Luke and Leia are the only people that matter to Rey.
No.
But the thing is, without Anakin, there would be no Luke and Leia.
Right. Anakin is so significant. Like I said, how can you not have the name?
They wouldn't be this series. Period.
Again, you had Kylo Ren.
Not have him.
You had Kylo Ren praying to the helmet, the deformed helmet.
Let's not mention how he has that, though.
Again, it's more fan service stuff that was in the trailer in the first movie. So people go, "Oh my god! Like, how did that happen?" And never really explain it. So even in this movie, they still do that same thing where he's like going into the room, and then Rey sees his stuff in his room, and I'm like, "What in the world?" It's like some little childish stuff. Like, why would you go into his room? That answers that question. So
her bearing of the lightsabers and stuff, pulling out her own, she'd be just the focus of Skywalker now. The legacy ends with her. Like, whatever reason, I don't know what the fuck the reasoning was for that. It felt petulant, almost. My toys are better than yours now. Taking over the whole franchise with my character. And it didn't make any sense. Like, the whole reason they didn't even want Anakin Skywalker in truth was, the big reason was that almost anyone who's heard that those spoilers about Force Ghosts would show up, and people were already talking shit about how they didn't want to see Anakin Skywalker in there. And if this was all fan servicey thing, one of the easiest low-hanging fruits of any kind of fan fiction fan service you want to do.
Keith's bringing out the business terms now. I hear that meetings all the time. It's like, hey, everybody, I'm going to have the low-hanging fruit. See that? The dangling carrot. Everyone go.
Yeah, low-hanging fruit for that, and that is to bash the prequels and talk shit about Hayden Christensen. Because are you going to have Hayden Christensen being the voice of Darth Vader or some other guy? I wasn't surprised that Anakin Skywalker didn't show up. But to your point, Mike, I agree. It made more sense for him to show up. I mean, hell, they could have thrown all the Force Ghosts out there. I was hoping to see, like, Yoda and Qui-Gon pop in. But
I mean, shit, she heard all their voices. Why shouldn't they have all been there? The whole damn tribe should have just been standing there looking at her. With this much fan service, she might as well just gone all out with it.
So, yes, this is the spoilers for the Rise of the Skywalker. I mean, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to ever see this movie again.
Well, I know I'm not.
I mean, regardless if there's 30 minutes of added material, I don't think I even want to see that. If it shows up on YouTube or something, yeah, fine. That's great. That's the spoilers. Take what you may from Star Wars. Some people might be glad it's ending, or at least this iteration of Star Wars is ending. But if you want to see real Star Wars, subscribe to Disney Plus. They're not paying us for this. Watch The Mandalorian and Baby Yoda. And that's the Beast Game Podcast.